Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here on this Sunday. You are such an amazing and powerful God. Would you please forgive us for all the sins we have committed this week? Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. Please give us strength and power to overcome temptation and trials. Would you please speak through Pastor David and bless him and his words? Let us be the light in our schools and just keep us safe throughout this week. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, guys. Hope you guys had a great week. We are now in the month of November. Oh, thank you. And November means that Thanksgiving is coming, and after Thanksgiving, we have Christmas to look forward to. This is the first Sunday service, I think, of this year that we are separating the junior high and the high school. It's been about a year since I've come to the high school ministry. Before that, I was doing the junior high. I was a pastor for the junior high youth group, and it's been about a year now since I came to high school, and it's been wonderful and great. High schoolers are very dynamic. One week they can be happy, and the other week they could be utterly depressed. And that is why today, the sermon title for today is, What is the Purpose of Life? Let's pray before we go into the Word. Father God, we just thank you for gathering us, all of us here today. It has been rainy for the past couple days, and it's been getting to us. Some of us have been so unhappy because of the rain. Will you bring your sunshine back? And God, will you bless this time we have together? As we go into your Word, Holy Spirit, work in our hearts. Take away all distractions at this time, God. May we focus on you, and may we together go and answer this question, what is the purpose of life? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This past Saturday, millions of Muslims around the world were in the holy city of Mecca for the first day of this annual celebration they have called the Hajj, and the annual pilgrimage. Yes, I know. I find it very amusing. This annual pilgrimage, the Hajj, double J. These are all. Can we get the lights real quick? John Lee, right there. Yes. Just turn off both of them. So these are actually millions of Muslims. These are all people, and millions of Muslims are expected to perform this at least once in his or her lifetime. Dressed in white, following in the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad, pilgrims climb Mount Arafat, just outside the Saudi Arabian city. Hajj, a five-day pilgrimage, consists of a series of detailed rituals in Mina, Arafat, and Mecca. It is one of the five pillars of Islam to do this pilgrimage in every single Muslim's life. So if you're a Muslim and you were born into a family of Muslims and you believed in the Islam religion, in your lifetime, it is required for you to go on this pilgrimage at least once. And just this past Saturday, this started, and it's still going on right now, where millions of Muslims, millions, are traveling right now on their pilgrimage. You know, it's so amazing. Can we get the lights again, John? It's so amazing to see this kind of picture. It's so amazing to see how, just for a moment, we're to compare Muslims and Christians. If you guys don't know, 11-11-11, this coming Friday, at the Rose Bowl, 100,000 Christians are gathering together for a day of prayer and repentance. 100,000. Okay, but compare that 100,000 to millions. Not just 1 million, but millions of Muslims. Every year, this Rose Bowl event, 11-11-11, it doesn't happen every year. And it's very hard to gather even 100,000 Christians just for a day of prayer, one day. On the other hand, we see Muslims here every year. Every Muslim is required by their religion to make this pilgrimage, millions of Muslims. Not only just one day, but five. Now, when I look at people like this, And I have friends that are Muslim too. I've been to Muslim countries. I've been to Israel, Palestine, Afghanistan, Oman, United Arab Emirates. I've met a lot of Muslim people. They're very nice. They're very nice. One of their five pillars is to be nice. So on mission trips, right, being Christians and sneaky, what you do is you would pretend you're homeless. You're a tourist with no money. So you go up to a Muslim and say, you know what, I'm from America. And they'll be like, oh, Hollywood? Yes, California, Washington. They'll be like, oh, America. And you'd be like, but I have no money. They'd be like, what? You came all the way across from the world with no money? You're a tourist? Yeah, no money. Oh, come in. And you go into their house and you talk to them. They would give you chai, which is this traditional tea that they drink in the Middle East. And as you're drinking tea, you pretend to be very, very tired and sleepy. So you start falling asleep and they're like, oh, please stay at my house, have some rest. And you're like, okay. And the next day, you spend more time with them, get close to them. And when you get the chance, you deliver the gospel message. That's what I was doing in Afghanistan, Israel, and Palestine. And it's very amazing to see how nice these Muslims are. So whenever I look at them and whenever I talk to them and I see pictures like this, and I just imagine how great and wonderful it would be just to be standing in this crowd and looking around, there's millions of Muslims. Millions. And when I look at them, I ask myself, I wonder how. How in the world, when they understand that they're following a false religion, when they're proclaiming the name of Allah, this false God, how in the world could they believe it, believe in this religion, this false religion, so fervently? How could they put their whole life on the line? Some of these people standing right here, it's a lifetime of saving. Just for their family to make this 5-day trip, they save money their whole life. Their whole life. Just to make this one trip. Because they think if they don't make this trip, they can't go to heaven. Their heaven. That's how fervently they believe. And I ask myself, how in the world could they believe in such things like that? And I came with one answer. And that is because every single person in this world, you and I, myself, everyone in this world are constantly asking this one question: what is the purpose of my life? For these Muslims, their purpose in their life is to follow their religion, is to complete one of the five pillars of Islam. You know, in high school, I would constantly struggle and wrestle with these thoughts. Some of you guys are even thinking about these thoughts and have maybe asked yourself this question too. Why am I living? What is the purpose of my life? You know, when you look at your life today, the things you do, the things you invest time in, school, sports, relationships with friends, family, it shows you the purpose you have created for your life. You have created for your life. The things that you do, maybe it's church. You come to church every weekend. That's the purpose of your life. You've made it your purpose. Maybe you're busy studying every night up to 2 a.m. and Facebooking at the same time. The purpose of your life is to get good grades. So I want you guys to ask yourself this morning, what is the purpose of your life? You know, I preached this sermon in EM. Pastor Choi, he invited me to speak, and I preached this sermon. And the reason why I didn't preach it in youth was because we had some junior high schoolers here, right? Our sixth graders, they don't understand this question. Why? Because they're still young. But around high school age, and I remember so clearly for myself too, when you're in high school, you ask the question, what is the purpose of my life? I want you guys to turn your Bibles, if you brought your Bibles, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, it's right after Psalms. So flip your Bible halfway open, flip some more pages, and you'll run into the book, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. You guys should all bring your Bibles to church. One Sunday, I'll be reading a passage, and it'll be like, David Yoon is God. And some of you guys would be like, oh, yeah, he is God. You know? Maybe worship David Yoon. And you guys would be like, oh, yeah, that's in the Bible. So bring your Bibles to church. And Harry's like, oh, Harry, I'll put you in there too. How about that? Is that a good deal? No? Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. If you're there, say amen. Okay, good. Now, this book, Ecclesiastes, was written by Solomon, King Solomon. He was the third king of Israel 3,000 years ago. Now, what's so amazing about King Solomon is this. When he was ruling, it was the golden age of Israel. King Solomon was a man of wisdom. Not only that, he was an architect. He was a scientist. He had great power. He was the son of King David. He was a brilliant man, and the Bible states that he was the wisest man to ever live. People would come all over the from all over the ancient world, the ancient Near East, that area. People would travel thousands of miles. People would travel over a year just to go see King Solomon. This is how wise he was. Not only was King Solomon wise, but he had no enemies. The Bible never states that someone had something against King Solomon. So this was the golden age of Israel. The nation of Israel was at peace. There was no border disputes with neighboring countries. So King Solomon decides that in his lifetime, as he's getting older and older, he sees all the riches he has. He sees how powerful the nation of Israel has become. He sees all the blessings that God has given them. And he decides he's going to do everything it takes to answer this one question. And this one question he asks and he answers in the book of Ecclesiastes. And the question is, what is the purpose of life? And that's why he writes this book, to share with others what he had learned and found out. He did everything he could with his money. He experimented with marriage, love, sheer pleasure. Sometimes he didn't do anything at all. He would just sleep all day and eat. He would sleep, eat, poop, sleep, eat, poop, pee, sleep, eat, poop. And he wouldn't eat poop. But this is what King Solomon did. He said, with everything I have, I'm going to answer the one question everyone has. What is the purpose of life? And he did this because he could. Unlimited resources, unlimited influence, and he devoted the last of his days, even to the day he was dying, he devoted to answering this question. What is the purpose of our life? Now, when I read this book and I ask myself this question, what's the purpose of your life, David? And I read this book, I get even more depressed. And you'll know why in a second. But when you guys, if you guys are ever to read the book of Ecclesiastes, you have to read it in one sitting. You have to read the whole book, 1 through 12, all chapters in one sitting. But today we're not going to read through that, the whole book. I'm going to give you bits and pieces of Solomon's answer. So if you guys turn to verse 1, right from the beginning, Solomon gives his thesis statement. You guys all love thesis statements, right? Sometimes in your first paragraph, you're supposed to write your thesis statement, and you think you did, and your teacher hands back your paper and says, where's your thesis statement? This is my thesis statement. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. It's my purpose. Well, here Solomon gives us his thesis statement in verse 1. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. He is the king, the teacher. He is OG. He's everyone. Everyone comes to King Solomon, and he gives us the answer in this one word. The purpose of life is meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And everything from this point forward, he says, is the same thing. Just follow along, verse 3. If you guys don't have your Bibles, feel free to look up at the PowerPoint. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come, generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. Very poetic. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. Very depressed, King Solomon is. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome. More than one can say, the eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear is full of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. There is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. And isn't what King Solomon writes so true? When you guys ask yourself, what is the purpose of life? And you guys look out to the world. The sun goes down. The sun comes back. The rivers flow into the oceans, but the ocean is never full. The wind blows and blows again. People die. People are born. But who remembers who? No one. Who will remember you when you die? A lot of people. What King Solomon is writing is so true, and he's saying, everything is meaningless. So many people work and try to achieve something in their life. Grades, SAT, college, career, family. So many people. If you guys have ever looked around you, your parents, man, I grew up thinking that my parents are the most stupidest people in the world. No matter how hard they work, no matter how much money they bring in that day, the next day, they'll think one thing in their head. I have to make more money. No matter how much studying I do, I realize there's more to study. When I was in college, man, I said, I'm going to get a PhD. I'm going to get a double PhD. I'm going to actually get triple PhD. I'm going to study my whole life. I was so attracted to studying, so attracted to learning more about life. But the more I realize now I'm more than halfway into my master's degree, the more I realize no matter how much you learn, there's always more. This is the life that we are living in. This is the culture. This is the purpose that they tell us, that they teach us. Go to college. What to do after college? Study more. What to do after studying more? If you're a girl, get married. If you're a guy, study more. Study more. Make more money. Make more money. What else is there to life, guys, right? I'm being serious. If you're to throw out religion, faith, Christianity, God, and you're just to look at life, what we're supposed to do in life, it's just that. Live a good life, and one day you'll die. No one will remember you. Meaningless, meaningless, everything is utterly meaningless. King Solomon experimenting with his endless amount of money, endless amount of influence, his power, he realized that even if he was such a great king, no one will remember him. He's realizing that no matter what he does in his life, his purpose in his life will go away once he dies under the sun. But King Solomon was brilliant. He doesn't end with this conclusion. He continues throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, and he weaves this secret message. A secret message. You guys want to know the secret message? A secret message in the book of Ecclesiastes as he tells us what the purpose of life is. And it comes out in three words. Under the sun. For King Solomon, the secret he weaves in the book of Ecclesiastes come from these three words. Under the sun. It comes out in this book 29 times. And what King Solomon is saying is this. If all there is to life and all we are to see in this life is under the sun, life is meaningless. If all there is to life is the years from our birth to death under the sun, life is meaningless. If all there is to life is what we experience on this earth, what we learn on this earth, under the sun, life is meaningless. And he tells us that we must look beyond this life under the sun to find the purpose of our life. King Solomon continues to write in chapter 3, verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in his time. And this is when King Solomon finally starts talking about God. And he says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. God has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone must eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. King Solomon finally talks about God, and he says that God has made everything beautiful in his time. You know, there's moments in your life. Maybe you guys are watching this drama, okay, or this movie, this, you know, sad movie. And you're watching, and something happens in the movie, this drama. The girl finally tells the guy, I love you. And the guy is like, I love you too. And they hug, and you're just like, oh, yes, God. There's hope. There's hope for me. You know, sometimes I walk into church on Sunday, and before I used to be very emo, okay? I'm very emo. And I used to walk into church, and you know, in church, we used to have these benches. They moved them, but I used to sit on that bench and just sit there. And everyone's like, 안녕하세요, 선생님, 안녕하세요, 선생님. I'm like, oh, 안녕하세요, 안녕하세요. And then when I'm really emo, I just look down. And no one says a thing to me. So I started experimenting with church people. What if I did something weird? How would they respond? So I'll sit at this bench and people are walking by and I'll look really sad. And they get really sad. And I'll be smiling and they would start smiling. So I started doing this with little kids. I walk up to them and like frown at them and they'd be like, they'd frown back at me. If I go up to little kids and I smile at them, they would smile back at me. So what I started doing is, oh, I have to start smiling more. Then people will smile at me. So every time I walk into church, the front doors, and there's the Barnabas team, you know, and they're like, oh, 안녕하세요, and giving out chubo. I would look at the families that would come in and see if they're smiling. Very interesting thing to do. Sometimes if you want to be a creeper, you can stand on the second floor and look out the window and just see families come in. I see some of your families come in too. Very interesting. They'll be walking in, the dad is usually in a hurry, you know, and the mom's like, oh, here's your offering, and the kid sometimes is in the back just walking to death. Ah, church again. But some families, very rarely, you'll see them all walking in together, smiling. Sometimes you'll see little children look up at their mom and say, Mom, I'm going to go. Okay, hurry up and go. I'll see you after service. Every time I see that, I get this feeling inside, there must be more. There must be more to this life than what I'm just feeling, what I'm going through. And the reason why we feel that, King Solomon says, is that God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. You can say and think whatever you want about God. But at the end of the day, when everything is over, you're sitting by yourself and there's something inside of you, even if it's a whisper, that will tell you there must be more than this. There must be more than this under the sun. And this is because God has set eternity in the hearts of men. You know, I'm going to end with this verse in Psalms 92. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And this is Moses' prayer. And he says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And I want to tell you guys today, before you guys go, and before, you know, if there's just one thing you should remember, is that you should number your days. Day by day, don't live without purpose. Don't live without understanding what God has in plan for you. And King Solomon, he ends this book. At the very end, he wraps it all up. He says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Here is the conclusion. Here is the answer to the question, what is the purpose of our lives? He says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. He says, live each day fearing God and keeping his commandment. In Isaiah 64:8, it says, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." Live each day understanding that God has placed in your heart, in my heart, the eternity. Eternity. And he gives us this promise that as we follow him, as we give God our lives, God invites each and every one of us to be part of his story. Some of you guys, your eyes are already closed. On rainy days, it's very tiring. And sermons are very slow and peaceful to rest. But let's all close our eyes if your eyes aren't already closed. For those of you guys that have been taking a nice nap, I wish I was there sleeping with you. An hour of sleep, I guess, makes you more tired. With our eyes closed right now, you guys don't even have to raise your hands. But we can all agree here in this room that we've all asked the question, what is the purpose of our life? And many of us, we've came to the conclusion that everything is meaningless, that all this hard work is meaningless. And King Solomon says, you are right. It is meaningless under the sun. But for us at this time, I want you guys to look beyond the sun. I want you guys to look beyond the sun and what's here on this earth. The promises that God gives you. God tells us, you can't understand your life on your own. You need me to tell you what the purpose of your life is. Take just a few seconds, few moments, to just pray to God and ask God, God, teach me to number my days. Teach me to know your will and your purpose in my life. God, may we live each day numbering our days. May we live each day looking past the sun, looking past all the vanity, looking past of all the things on this earth, the materialistic things, God. Father God, may we look past school. May we look past career or family or anything, Father, this world tells us is the meaning to our lives, the purpose of our life. May we look past those things, God, at this time. And may we look to you. May we hear the words of King Solomon that in all his glory and wisdom and all the honor that he received from people on this earth, he knew that everything was meaningless. Father, may we hear the words of King Solomon when he tells us, fear God and keep his commandments. God, in our lives, may our hearts be aligned with you. May our lives be following your commands. Bless us, God, this week. Be with us and guide us. May each day be a prayer to you. God, allow us to know your will and your purpose in my life today. Will you continue to guide us? Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.